Welcome to Just a Minute.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it's my huge pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country, but around the world, but also to welcome to the program four exciting and dynamic personalities who are going to play Just a Minute. And they are, seated on my right, Paul Merton and Sheila Hancock, and seated on my left, Pam Ayres and Mike McShane. Please welcome all four of them. And as usual, I'm going to ask them to speak on a subject that I will give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Beside me is Hayley Sterling, who's going to help me with the score and blow the whistle when the 60 seconds have elapsed. And we're going to begin the show with Paul Merton. Paul, the subject, oh, lovely one. The first cuckoo. Will you tell us something about the first cuckoo starting now?
The first cuckoo of spring. Generally, a reader writes to the Times and announces that they have heard the first cuckoo of spring, this early harbinger of increasing...
Sheila, challenge.
A repetition of spring.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
It's not on the card.
No, it's not.
Yes, it's first cuckoo. So, Sheila, right away, you have a correct challenge for which you get a point. And, of course, you take over the subject. And the subject is the first cuckoo. 51 seconds starting now.
The first cuckoo was called Cuckoosaurus, and it was at the same time as the Brontosaurus, only this one had wings, and over the years it has become smaller. Delius wrote a lovely piece of music about the first cuckoo, but it wasn't the one I was just talking about. That was another cuckoo. They are nasty birds, actually. They invade another's nest and have their babies there and force the other creature to feed them, which is a pretty murky job to do because birds are constantly tweeting for food and it is a...
Birds on the social media. Constantly tweeting for food. This is an extraordinary deviation.
Birds.
Why? On what basis is it deviating?
She did repeat birds.
Yes.
She repeated
birds. Oh, she did repeat birds, yes. Well listened, and you've got a correct challenge. You've got a point for that, of course. And you have 9 seconds still available. The first cuckoo starting now.
Nicholas remembers going to the circus and seeing a double act called Cuckoo and Something Else. And they were wonderful and were impinged on his mind and forced him into a career of show business.
Yes, in this game, whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Paul Merton. And Sheila, we'd like you to begin the next round, and the subject is sleeping like a baby. Would you talk on that subject, 60 seconds as usual, if you want it, starting now?
Well, there are people all over the country saying, what do you mean, sleeping like a baby? They never do sleep. They're up all night, bellowing for food, just like the birds that I was talking about in the previous thing. Only they're not cuckoos, they're babies. And they look adorable.
Oh, Pam, you've challenged.
I thought it was a slight hesitation.
I don't think there was. Pam, it was lovely to hear from
you. Thank you. But... Thank you very much. Thank you.
I must be fair, within the rules of Just a Minute, I don't think she really hesitated.
Oh, all right, then.
It was a bit of a one. I know what you mean.
Well, thank you, Sheila. Thank you very much.
So, Sheila, an incorrect challenge. You have a point, and the subject still, sleeping like a baby, starting now.
One of my daughters would never go to sleep unless you drove her around in a car. Many's the time John and I have been having a lovely meal out with the baby supposedly sleeping in the carry cot, and it starts to cry, and off one of us has to go to keep the baby asleep by...
Yes.
No, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I was going to say it was a repetition of baby, but of course it is on the card, and I'm very sorry.
You didn't apologise now.
It's all right, it's all right.
We just love hearing from you, Pam, yes.
I mean, you'll get me in the end, Pam.
You can repeat words on the card and
Sheila.
Babies on the card. So 21 seconds still available, Sheila. Sleeping like a baby, starting now.
A good way to get a baby to sleep is to give them a dummy. Lots of people disapprove of that.
Pam, challenge.
No, I didn't. I really didn't.
Well, your light came on. Because if you press your buzzer, the first one to press eliminates the other lights in front of me.
Well, it must have been a tremulous, involuntary movement.
An inspired spasm.
Right.
Yeah, it was.
Oh,
it was,
I just love that remark you made. So I'll just give you a bonus point for that.
Do I? Do I get an extra point for a wrong challenge?
Well, you buzzed.
Oh, you buzzed. Wait, Pam is like him. I'll press your buzzer again, Paul. Yeah, well, there we are. What was your challenge?
It was repetition of people, a lot of people.
Yeah, there were
there.
A lot of people right, there, yeah. A lot of people. Yes. So, Paul, you've got the subject now, Sleeping Like a Baby, and there are 14 seconds available, starting now.
In the old days, you used to give them gripe water, which is a lot of alcohol mixed with H2.
Sheila,
you didn't give gripe water for sleep, you gave it for wind.
But is it got alcohol in it?
But you do give it for wind, don't you?
That's right, yeah. So you're quite right,
absolutely
Sheila.
Absolutely right.
You've got 10 seconds, Sheila, to pick up the subject, Sleeping Like a Baby, starting now.
It is probably one of the most beautiful sights in the world to see a baby fast asleep with its little thumb in its mouth.
So Sheila Hancock was again speaking as the whistle went. Gained that extra point, and she's in a strong lead at the end of the round. And Mike McShane, we'd like you to begin the next round. Will you tell us something about airport security? 60 seconds, starting now.
Airports are the bane of my existence because I possess prosthetic hips. These two pieces of metal have caused me more delays in my travels than I can count. Often, the trembling from the machine that vibrates to ascertain them is quite pleasant, but then it gets... it goes downhill from there. In my country, I'm subjected to a rigorous examination of every object of metal on me. I sort of feel like the Tin Man. It's a long, lengthy...
hesitation.
Yes, sir.
But in, what, between long and lengthy?
After lengthy.
After lengthy. Okay. Yeah, we could actually see your mouth was open, but no words came out.
Well, okay.
As you were searching for a different word from long or lengthy.
But, I've got to mask that better.
But that's the pressure of the game. Paul, you have a correct challenge. You have a point. You have airport security. 22 seconds starting now.
Airport security, of course, has changed many times over the decades. Back in the 1930s, airport security consisted of people just turning up on time and having the money to pay to travel on whichever aeroplane they were wishing to embark. Nowadays, airport security is a rough, tough business. Sometimes you can see the people are a bit bored looking at these machines and you wonder whether that state...
So, the end of the round, Paul Merton, with points and speaking as the whistle went, has moved forward. He's equal with Sheila Hancock in the lead, and Pam Ayres, we'd like you to begin the next round. And the subject is Ravel's Bolero. I don't know whether... Is it the clothes you're wearing that they think is in... It looks a bit like it. Anyway, Pam... Well, 60 seconds available if you want it, starting now.
When I was a pupil at Farringdon Secondary Modern School, we had a music teacher called Mrs. Thomas who hailed from the Welsh Valleys and was exceedingly ferocious. In an effort to demonstrate to us the soothing effect of music upon the bucolic breast, one day she wheeled a colossal gramophone into the classroom and played Ravel's Bolero to us. Perplexity appeared on the ruddy, pink, turnip-like faces of the students as they cried, "Why, miss? It is the same old stuff."
Paul Shannon.
Well, it was a repetition of miss.
Oh.
Oh, I'm sorry. Have I misunderstood something?
No,
you didn't. I mean, they
was
just
there?
Enjoyed...
Where was the first one?
You said Miss Thomas.
Mrs. Thomas. I beg to differ.
Oh,
she was...
Oh, my.
She was married because her husband worked there as well.
Mm.
He was,
But you didn't repeat the missus. He came in as a miss the second time,
yeah,
didn't he?
Yeah, because it was Mrs. Thomas, right, and the kids said, "Why, miss?"
Mm. Anyway, the thing is, if you get challenged and it's incorrect, you get a point.
Yeah.
Ah,
so
terrific.
You have a point for that, Pam. And there are still 24 seconds. Ravel's Bolero starting now.
The needle is stuck. Kick it in the kidneys. Mrs. Thomas used to play...
Paul, which I...
Some teachers are very hard to forget.
Yeah, that's
but just the of the lovely Mrs. Thomas.
Yes. Lovely Mrs.
You're
Thomas.
Right, you're
yes,
right.
Yes, it is. So, Paula, this is a correct challenge. There's still 20 seconds available. Ravel's Bolero starting now.
Generally, I like Ravel's music, but I find his Bolero an absolutely turgid piece of work. The same notes over and over again, get faster and faster. Repetition upon repetition.
Yeah. Sheila, that's you
what
jumped in there
about it.
Yes. It's a sort of figure of speech, it's so easy
absolutely
to fall into that one. Sheila.
Oh, repetition.
Yeah. Over, right.
Faster and faster.
And you can tell us something now about Ravel's Bolero in 13 seconds if you want, starting now.
Ravel's Bolero was a sort of Tyrolean job, but made out of satin and embroidered beautifully, because he was a bit like that. He liked wearing a bolero as a person.
Right, yes. So, Sheila Hancock, speaking as a whistle wind, getting that extra point. He's one ahead of Paul Merton, and then Mike McShane and Pam Ayres are following in that order. And, Sheila, it's also your turn to begin. Mm. The subject, a piece of cake. Ooh. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
Well, there's nothing I like more than a piece of cake with a cup of tea. It's divine. And I actually occasionally make a cake. They're always a total disaster because I am the worst cook in the history of the world. However, I will give you my Victoria sponge. You take 200 grams of butter and self-raising flour, 4 eggs, then you add a little bit of vanilla and you beat it with a thing that you use for that occupation. Or you have a beautiful mixer which you can shove all the ingredients in, give
it. Could you slow down? I'm trying to write this down at dictation speed.
I must explain to our listeners that wonderful laughter was because Paul was apparently writing it all down so he would remember it.
I've got take.
And also he buzzed himself. Why did you buzz, Paul?
Oh, just to finish it somehow.
So you didn't get the full buzz of him. But you did buzz, so have you got a challenge on the rules of adjustment?
Not really, no.
Sheila, an incorrect challenge.
Yeah.
You tell us a bit more about a piece of cake.
Oh.
And you've got 15 seconds starting now.
You can also ice it if you want to. And I'll give you the way you make that. You take the same sort of greasy stuff.
Pam, challenge.
It's a repetition of take.
Yeah.
Because yes, you take. Yes, you
take. I've been writing it down.
So that was great visual humour, which is wonderful on the radio.
Yes.
But you've got imaginations, and I'm sure you can guess what was happening. And Pam, a correct challenge. And you have 6 seconds, if you wanted, on a piece of cake, starting now.
I like to serve my pieces of cake on a piece of patterned...
No, it wasn't Paul. Wrong, no, it's wrong. I thought I heard a repetition, but I didn't.
No, she said pieces first.
Pieces and pieces.
And then
pieces
came
and pieces,
rather,
yeah, yeah.
Right. So you were very clever. You led them into that trap. And... So, incorrect challenge. Another point to you, Pam. And 2 seconds are still available. A piece of cake starting now.
Positioned upon a doily in which I have placed...
Right. So, Sheila Hancock still in the lead. Then Paul Merton. And Pam's moving up there a bit. Mike's still trailing a little. And, Mike, it's your turn to begin. And a lot of phrases in this show, aren't there, this week? Mike, we've got now counting your chickens... It's a very English phrase, but do you know much about it?
I do, but
only in
a Midwestern sense, really, from my
Right. Oh, well, then, you try and talk on counting your chickens starting now.
My grandmother, Florence Stafford, raised chickens. She was a farm woman and had a lovely, lovely coop of Rhode Island. Dang. You know, when you go into reminiscence about your family, you just lose all thought.
Sheila, you challenge first.
Well, I'm afraid it was a repetition. Yes. I would have let it go, but...
It was a bit too obvious, wasn't it? Yes. So, Sheila, you've got 51 seconds, if you wanted. Counting your chickens, starting now.
Counting your chickens before they're hatched means that you shouldn't anticipate the fact that you're a success.
Pam challenge.
I would say it was a hesitation.
It was a hesitation, Pam. And so you got a correct challenge. And there are now 42 seconds available if you wanted. Counting your chickens starting now.
I am patron of the Battery Hen Welfare Trust, which rescues chickens from...
Mike, who challenged first?
Yes, it was chickens, wasn't it?
It was something else.
Yes. Oh, cluck.
I was going to say.
I thought it was repetition and I missed it.
No, darling boy, it was hesitation.
It was hesitation. So I was wrong.
No, you were right. I'm trying to help you, Mike.
Mike, thanks a lot. You're absolutely right, Nicholas. Thank you very much. It was great. They sent me a 10-pound note under the table.
So you had a correct challenge of hesitation. You have counting your chickens as subject, 35 seconds, starting now.
When what? Oh, really? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that you, Lord Stripemore?
It's just a minute, not just an hour.
Man. All right, that's it.
Your friend Paul Merton challenged you. Paul, can I ask you to be generous? Because Mike hasn't played the game as much as usual.
No, we can be generous.
No, we can. There are 33 seconds. We can't give you any points for that. Oh, Paul should have a point because it was a correct challenge. But you keep the subject, Mike. Counting your chickens, 33 seconds, starting now.
Anticipating the results of some outcome is all too human. But it often ends in folly. When one tries to think ahead, the future throws itself in front of you with opportunities and detours that would ruin any progress.
It's difficult.
I must say, you're the only contestant we've ever had, or player, who gets applause for making mistakes. So, Paul, this time it was any, right?
Yes.
Counting your chickens is with you, and 17 seconds to go, starting now.
One, two, three, four, five, six. This is how you count your chickens. When I live in the country with a massive house that's surrounded by anti-fox fencing, I will invest in some beautiful chickens. My favourite are the Rhode Island Reds. What a character they are.
So, at the end of that round, Sheena Hancock's still in the lead. 2 points ahead of Paul Merton, and then comes Pam Ayres, a few points behind, and then Mike McShane. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. We're back with you. Being hoist with your own petard. A well-known phrase. Can you talk on
being
it?
Being hoist with your own petard.
Yes.
Right, okay.
Some people say being hoist on your own petard, but I think the correct one is being hoist with your own petard. Starting now.
Well, a few weeks ago, I was hoisted with my own petard and I couldn't walk straight for a week. I was playing just a minute and I challenged somebody on repetition, and then, all of a moment later, I was indeed the subject of a challenge from somebody else. And it turned out I'd been...
Pam challenged.
It's a repetition of somebody, I think.
Yes, right, yes.
I think it's a repetition of somebody.
Well done, Pam.
Yes.
And you've got a correct challenge, and you have 46 seconds being hoist with your own petard, starting now.
My husband, when I first met him, always used to say, hoist on your own petard, and I didn't understand what it meant. But not wishing to look parochial, I would agree with him and say, yes, he certainly was. He won't try that again. I can't think of anything else to say about it.
Sheila, your challenge.
Hesitation or stopping.
Yeah. Yes.
She was pausing for the laugh she deserved. Sheila, you've got him with 29 seconds to go on being hoist with your own petard, starting now.
Hoist with your own petard, I think, was said by Hamlet in the play of the same name, but I can't remember the complete thing, but it's something to do with Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. And a petard was actually a sort of bomb. I thought it used to be a sword, but it isn't. It's something that explodes and kills people. And you've got to be careful that you don't tell.
So, at the end of that round, Sheena Hancock was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point. She's crept forward. She's just in the lead, 2 points ahead of Paul Merton, followed by Pam Ayres and Mike McShane. And, Mike, we're back with you to begin. The subject is Jacques Cousteau, starting now.
The red beanie cap that Jacques Cousteau wore became a trademark on television when I was a young child. His effervescent, slow Gallic quality as he described the ocean's riches riveted me, and I stood in front of the television for many, many hours enjoying his ecological...
I think the audience buzzed in on that
one. Yeah, exactly. I'm like some bad gangster character. Hey, it's Mike Two Times McShane. Hello, hello. Which cake do you want? That one, that one.
No, it's a figure of speech. So people do it really, really.
You know, but I've got to...
You've got to, yeah.
Well, I'll learn by scorn.
Pam, you challenge first.
Many, many, yes.
Pam, we've got 41 seconds on Jacques Cousteau starting now.
Jacques Cousteau was an underwater explorer and expert in the same way as Hans and Lottie Haas, who used to speak in such impenetrable Scandinavian accents that you were no wiser at the end of the programme than you were at the beginning. He used to swim with all the ocean's riches, including sprats, cod and haddock, and was frequently seen risking his life in the teeth of a shark while dressed in a black wetsuit with oxygen tanks strapped to his back. What a brave, heroic person he was. I can't think of anything else.
Ah. You only had 4 seconds to go.
Oh, damn.
It's best to keep going. Did it before. And Sheila, you came in first.
Sorry. Hesitation.
I ran out of steam.
Never mind.
So anyway, you've got 4 seconds, Sheila, to tell us something about Jacques Cousteau starting now.
Jacques Cousteau very nearly died in a pool near...
Paul's challenge.
Deviation. He did die. He's been dead for 20 years.
You didn't let me finish.
You
very nearly died in a pool, I was about to say.
She didn't finish the sentence, actually, Paul. No. But we love the interruption.
Oh, good, I get an extra point.
Yes, you do.
No, we give Paul a bonus point because we love the interruption.
What?
No, we give him.
You still get a point.
But you were interrupted, so you get a point.
Well, that makes us even. I want to get ahead of him.
Oh, no. You are ahead.
You are ahead with everybody.
I want to be further ahead. Yeah.
You couldn't be further ahead than you are at the moment. And you've got 1 second to go, starting now. Though she didn't want the subject, she cleverly kept going till the whistle went again, the extra point, and we are moving into the final round.
Oh.
You are a lovely audience. Right, but at the end of that round, as we move into the final round, Sheila Hancock is still in the lead, just ahead of Paul Merton, and then it's Pam Ayres and Mike McShane in that order. And Sheila, we're back with you to begin. And the subject is tea for two. 60 seconds if you want it, starting now.
Tea for two and me for you, and I can't remember the rest of the song. However,
Pam's
I will...
challenge, yes.
I thought it was deviation.
From the tune.
Well, no, I can't remember... I thought when Sheila sang, I can't remember the rest of the tune, I thought that was deviation from the subject of Tea for Two. But I may be wrong. I may be being pedantic.
I don't think the lyrics were, is it? Tea for two and two for tea.
That's right, the lyrics, yeah.
And me for you.
And you for me.
And then when Sheila... For us alone.
Two, three, four.
So she did deviate from the lyrics of the song.
I thought she deviated from the subject of Tea for Two.
By admitting that.
As she was singing it, she was obviously trying to demonstrate the song, and so she was deviating by not giving the right words of the song, so I give you the benefit of the doubt. So, Pam, you have a point, of course, and 52 seconds are available. Tea for Two, starting now.
I used to love Tea for Two, cream horns, chocolate eclairs, lovely slices of jammy substances. However, I have now given up sugar, and I can no longer enjoy these treats because I believe that this white substance...
Sheila, you challenge.
I think you said enjoy. I used to enjoy Tea for Two.
Okay, fine.
And then you said enjoy.
And also, I was about to say sugar again, so you're right.
Oh, all right. Yeah. I saved you.
It was a correct challenge, Sheila.
Okay.
And there are 34 seconds still available. Tea for Two. And I would advise you not to sing this time.
If you want to make a career in this business, you've got to listen to Nicholas.
34 seconds, Sheila. Tea for two, starting now.
I love a cup of tea, and two of us having it makes it even more fun. Going to somewhere like the Ritz Hotel or Fortnum & Mason's or that wonderful Betty's Cafe, which is in various places, including Halifax, I believe.
Pam Challis.
It's Harrogate.
I think they've got one in Halifax as well, haven't they?
I'm not going to judge on that.
Because I may be hoist on my own petard. Yeah. I think you might be right, actually. I think they may have opened up another one in Halifax.
Yeah, I'm sure. And if I give it against you, then now we'll get letters from Halifax saying we've got one.
I know.
So we'll say, as much as we enjoyed the challenge, it's an incorrect one. 16 seconds with you, Sheila. Tea for two. What was that one?
I just feel the despair emanating from Sheila. She's still got 16 seconds on tea for two.
I know.
Yeah, 16 seconds tea for two, Sheila, starting now.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you the recipe for making a good cup of tea. You have to warm the pot. That is absolutely essential. And then you put in some Darjeeling or jasmine, some other...
As you probably guessed, Sheila Hancock speaking as the whistle went, gained that valuable extra point. But Mike McShane, who's never played the game very much, struggled in fourth place. But it was a wonderful fourth place. It really was. In fact, you were in the fourth place.
I'd love to see the ribbon for that.
And then Miss Pam Ayres with her great contribution coming in third, just behind Paul Merton. But Paul was about 4 points behind Sheila Hancock. So we say, Sheila, you are our winner this week. So it only remains for me to say thank you to these four delightful players of the game, Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Mike McShane and Pam Ayres. And I also thank Hayley Sterling, who's helped me with the score and blown the whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds elapsed. We thank our producer, Victoria Lloyd. We're indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this amazing game. And we are deeply indebted to this lovely audience here, who've cheered us on our way magnificently. So from the audience, from me, Nicholas Parsons and the team, goodbye, thank you. Tune in again the next time we play Just a Minute!